Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland. Well, it's a time for solemn remembrance of the victims of the 7/7 bombings. As in the 7th of July 2005, here we are 20 years on. And so various bombs went off, four bombs went off on the London transport network. Liverpool Street Station, Edgware Road Station, King's Cross St Pancras, and one at Tavistock Square, which is very close to King's Cross and Pancras, the one at Tavistock Square on a double-decker bus just outside the headquarters of the British Medical Association. So they all went off in very close succession that morning around 9 o'clock the morning, a terrorist attack. It was a suicide bombing attack. So obviously the four men who detonated the bombs, they were also killed. So 52 people died, many different nationalities, reflecting just how cosmopolitan London is. Hundreds of people were injured, some of them scarred for life, never recovered, some of them in quite a minor way. Someone I know was injured just slightly, fortunately, in the back of the legs in that bombing, but, you know, didn't suffer lasting injury, mercifully. So remember, at the time, I was due to go into London with a group of people, I shan't say why, on coaches, and as a trip I was not looking forward to. And then I heard about sort of 10:30 in the morning, we're about to go up, you know, there've been explosions on the tube. We thought it was to do with gas pipes, because obviously all the particulars hadn't come out. There'd been no attribution quite of all these things. People hadn't quite pieced it together. The media are reluctant to speculate in case they're wrong. Already some people have been confirmed dead. More people will be rushed to hospital. Some are not dead on arrival, succumb to their injuries over the next few hours or indeed days. It was only later that day that the scale of the horror became apparent. I remember speaking to a French colleague and what the latest death toll was. So this is the time of the liberation of Iraq and the terrorists of Al-Qaeda and its Shia mirror images were setting off bombs on a daily basis to slay civilians and things like that. So unfortunately, there was numbness set in, this sympathy fatigue, and people just couldn't feel that much grief anymore. So remember, Tony Blair was Prime Minister of a Labour government at the time. So Comrade George Galloway wasted no time in blaming the victims as usual and saying it's because of the Iraq war, almost as though Al-Qaeda and its affiliates weren't trying to do this sort of stuff before the liberation of Iraq and so on, or to countries that were never involved in that, like India or whatever. So it was specious to do so. But wait a second, even if I'm wrong, even if they were doing it because of the liberation of Iraq, that doesn't make the liberation of Iraq wrong. Are you going to let them determine your foreign policy? I'm not. You might think liberating Iraq was illegal or immoral or whatever, or unsuccessful. You could argue all that, but nevertheless, that's to be decided on its merits and not on the basis of what these terrorists are going to do. It's because otherwise, you know, you're putting them in charge. So it was the biggest terrorist incident in the United Kingdom since 1988, since the hydrogen bombs went off on Pan Am Flight 103. Now, we're not quite at the bottom of who was it, the instigation of the Libyan regime or what. So these were improvised explosive bombs going off in backpacks. And I remember some weeks later being searched going into stations. But what was the point? If you really were a suicide bomber, you wouldn't submit to the search. You'd detonate right there, although that might not be kill so many people as they put off in a crowded train. So they tried to maximize civilian casualties by doing so on crowded commuter trains and buses at rush hour and so forth, and therefore also making it more difficult for the emergency service to get there and render aid and so forth. I remember taking off my backpack on a train, putting it up high and walking to the loo and coming back a couple of minutes later. And a South African saying, "You just scared the shit out of a whole load of people," because they thought it was about to blow. Well, I mean, it's not so funny now, but I remember thinking, well, it was not so funny at the time. I remember being a bit anxious about getting the tube for some months afterwards. And I thought, well, I'll go with the extreme end, because if they explode a device, I'll probably do it in the middle, thing that maximize casualties, maybe give myself a slightly higher chance and so on. There was racial profiling. I remember going into a nightclub with some friends. Well, I bumped into two university friends, one of whom happened to be of South Asian extraction. And he was the only one patted down. Actually, he's a Hindu, but you know, you can't tell these things by looking at him. Not that it'd be more acceptable to do that to a Muslim, but basically they're thinking, people of Pakistani, Bangladeshi, Indian origin, you know, they may well be Muslims. Now, the great majority of Muslims are not terrorists, but I regret to say in the United Kingdom, the majority of terrorists were Muslims. Now, I'm Irish, And you may know in the United Kingdom of the 70s to the 90s, most of the terrorists were Irish, which doesn't mean that our community as a whole to the blame. I have to say a significant minority were out armchair supporters, you know. The Irish community in Great Britain, I mean, at least 10% of people would sympathize with that. There'd be more who'd have mixed feelings and so on. So obviously you try to root this out, and there were some very gallant informers in the Irish community who saved a lot of lives. And the 7/7 attacks, that's the time when the MI5 dropped the ball, but it underscores why it's so crucial to have domestic intelligence services, and everybody makes mistakes, and they do too. Or sometimes it's a lone wolf. If there is no chatter about it, no communication, someone doing off his own bat, then how do you stop that? Because you couldn't read an email, you couldn't crack into an encrypted messaging system and read text, you couldn't listen into phone calls. There may be no bugging device, no conversation about it. You can't see that one coming, so no evasive action can be taken. And I think Tony Blair was in Edinburgh for some G7 meeting. Mian Mohan Singh, the then Prime Minister of India, was there. And Blair, he made a public statement on the news about it that evening, with all the world leaders lined up behind him in solidarity. George W. Bush was there with his eyes narrowed and his hawk beak nodding, and sort of took this gunslinger stance. And so he's gonna take on the foe like that. Goodness. I remember an African woman who was distraught about her son was missing. She was well known in the news at the time, and putting up notices for her son, refusing to believe her son had been killed, hoping against hope somehow he recovered. But that was not it. So obviously, you know, most of the Muslim community roundly condemned this atrocity, and so on. So it's a terrible crime. Fortunately, they managed to arrest other people who were involved. There was one guy who bailed out. He got on Eurostar and went to France. They weren't even able to, there were no exit checks. He was arrested in Italy, extradited back sometime later. So some other plotters were arrested and were given life sentences, and so on. And that's why it's so important. I mean, the police need to concentrate on this and not so-called whatever non-crime hate incidents. Stop harassing right-wing activists. These are people actually harming people. You know, stop closing down Palestine Action, which has never killed anyone, has never attempted to kill anyone, has never threatened to kill anyone, has never injured anyone, or threatened to do so, or attempted to do so. And yes, vandalized some planes. And those who did that, yes, they deserve harsh sentences, several years in prison, and so on. So that's why the police should not be wasting their time and our money, taking away people's civil liberties. But after that came the slaying of John Charles de Menezes, obviously on a hair trigger response. That Brazilian guy who was in London, who was followed onto the tube and shot dead, turned out to be a case of mistaken identity. And it wasn't carrying a bomb at all. It was a Brazilian guy who was in the United Kingdom illegally. Did he not submit to some search because he thought it was about his immigration status? And then some sick jokes came out about that one. Anyway, I hope this sort of thing doesn't happen again. But the willful murder of civilians is something which is evil and illegal, and is going on every single day in Palestine. And it underscores how vital it is we do everything we can to stop this to barbaric regimes which visit indiscriminate violence on civilians. You know, the worst terrorist organization in the world at the moment is the Israeli military, which has bombed almost every hospital and clinic in Gaza, has deliberately targeted civilians there to multiply the deaths. People who are wounded who could be saved aren't being saved because the doctors have been murdered and can't treat them, and so on. And atrocities like this are committed by the British government every single day in hospitals and clinics and homes. You know, all those little children murdered, and that is politicians who are responsible, and they shall not get away with this. They shall be brought to justice. I don't support the death penalty. Most politicians do, but only for the most innocent of all, for children. So I would show more mercy to these mass murderers than they would show even to their own children in some cases. So people, it's a very uncomplicated issue. We've got to speak out about against evil. And I realize there is such a thing as a just war, and in that, people become casualties accidentally. Innocent civilians get killed, and that's terrible. But that's not murder, so long as you are attacking a legitimate military target and the use of force is proportional. It's a bit like there was a Hamas militant at a cafe in Gaza, and Israel bombed the cafe, and they killed their man, and was it 28 civilians into the bargain? So that was murder. It was a greatly disproportionate use of force. The Northern Ireland conflict, the security forces were very, very restrained. And so they killed only very few terrorists. And now these loony lefty judges are saying it's illegal to keep the public safe like that. And okay, the security forces weren't perfect in Northern Ireland, accidentally killed some civilians, and occasionally deliberately kill civilians, and that is murder. But still, it's a better moral and legal record than almost any other armed force in a similar situation. Well, do what you can to save innocent lives. Stand up against terrorism, whether it's by a state or by a non-state actor, whether it's by establishment politicians or not, whether against adults or against children, whether against the perpetrator's own children, is an aggravating factor and not a mitigating one. Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate PayPal, georgecarlin79@gmail.com. Goodbye.